Welcome to another message from the teaching team at Elevation Church Australia. For more information about our church, service times and locations, visit elevationchurch.com.au.
On this special Sunday, I actually want to teach on eternity. And I know it's kind of a sobering thought to talk about death and talk about eternity, but I believe Resurrection Sunday, it's appropriate. And as Jesus died, he rose again. What happens when you die? What will we face? The Bible has much to say about death. We don't like talking about it. You know, some people are like, don't talk about it. You know, don't talk about Jesus. Or a lot of people, just to have great honesty right now, I've been through some personal grieving of late. A family member passed away. Many of you have seen loved ones pass away. And although there is great grieving and sorrow, I also believe there is great opportunity to teach God's word on this next life and eternity. And we're going to jump into God's word and share it. We're going to go fast. I've got like 30 scriptures, verses to share. So please take notes. Strap your seatbelts on. This will be life-changing, I believe, as we unpack God's word and understand death. Because understanding death helps you know how to live. Understanding death helps you know how to live. The first thought is this. The Bible teaches us everybody will die. Everybody will die. Hebrews 9:27, just as man is destined to die once and after that face judgment. So Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people. And he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. Paul says in Philippians 1:21, for to me, living means living for Christ, and dying is even what? Is even better. How can he say that? How can he say that death is better? Because Paul knew the benefit of dying. 2 Corinthians 5:8, we are not afraid, but are quite content to die. Man, I don't know about you, but it kind of scares me a little bit, the whole death thing. And I'm not sure about being content about it all. Why is that? Why could Paul so boldly declare this truth? That we're not afraid. We don't have to fear. We don't have to be scared. We don't have to be worried. We don't have to fear death. Why? Because we will be at home with the Lord. To be absent from the body means to be present with the Lord. The first thought is everybody will die. Everybody will die. And here's the second thought that Scripture teaches us. Every soul will live. Everybody will die, but every soul will live. Don't be afraid of those who kill the body, but they cannot kill the soul. So at your funeral, everyone's sharing stories and showing photos as if you're dead. You're not dead, you're still alive, because every soul will live. Your body is not the real you. Your body is a shell, it's a container, it's this vehicle that we operate in. Our spirit, our soul lives for eternity. And this body is temporary. It's kind of annoying because it's breaking down. And we kind of look forward to that trade-in, that upgrade, that new body that we will all get, the Bible talks about. Who can relate to me? The body sort of aging and breaking down. And so often, though, we focus so much effort on this body and it's not going to last. We put all this time and effort and money, don't we? So, some of you tuck it, you enhance it, you Botox it. You dress it, you wash it. I hope everyone washed it today. I hope we all had that. Church is filling up, man. We're like sitting next to everyone. Make sure you do your double washing today. You wash it. Manicure it. Anybody? Come on, the manicures. I don't mind a manicure. You know, that's okay. I've had one. It was kind of nice, a manicure. One thing I can do that's sort of a little bit fluffy is the manicure. What about massage? Anybody massage it? Pedicure it? Plumper it? Any plumpers? Hey, you be you. That's okay. I don't mind. You be you. We're not judging you. You can plumper it. What about supplement it? That's my four boys. They're supplementing it. They dress it. They suntan it. They shave it. They exfoliate it. Here's the problem, people. It's a depreciating asset. This body is dying and it's costing more and more money. I feel this, man, 53, my eyes, I can't even see. I'm too proud to wear glasses. It's not the pride, it's they're expensive. Get those cool looking ones, you know, the ones with the colors on them. And just, I just haven't gone there yet. So I've got 18 font. It keeps increasing every year. I'm going to 20 font next service. And I've got this beard just so I can cover the wrinkles. But then it's got all this color in it. Where'd that gray come from? And the worst thing, I can't read the instructions when I'm cooking. I'm calling my kids, hey, what does this say? What does this say? And then they read it. I can't understand anything they say because young adults, especially teenage boys, they don't talk in English. They just talk in a foreign language of grunts and groans. What did you say? What is it? Well, here's the worst thing growing old. I don't understand memes. I'm telling you, I don't get it. My family just laugh at me because we have a group chat and they show memes. I'm like, what does that mean? I ask questions and I just shouldn't, but I do. And they're like, Dad, you're a loser. You don't understand it. You're old. You're a boomer. And so we're all got this physical body that's dying, people. Let's not focus so much on it. I mean, it's good to take care of it. It's the temple of the Holy Spirit. So that's, but it's not our eternal being. It will die. The body will decay, but there's something that lives forever. It is our soul. And he who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Number one, your body will die, but every soul will live. And the Bible teaches us every person will face judgment. This is where it gets a little bit sobering, and this is a bit tougher for us to talk through. None of us want to face judgment. But just as man is destined to die once, and after that to face judgment, every person, male, woman, female, every person, I messed that up. Male, female, child, every person will face judgment. It's inevitable. The Bible says every knee will bow, every tongue will, everybody will face judgment. And I think this is probably why we don't talk about death in church or just, you know, at the dinner table. Who wants to talk about a judgment with the Almighty God? Talk about intimidating. It's hard enough to be judged on this earth. I remember my science projects and my goodness, I was just not very good at academics. And my mates, we would have these science projects and they would have like flashing lights and sound and things would move. And I just had a cardboard box with a bit of blue tack, you know, holding it together. But what I later found out was some of you overachieving parents actually did the science project for your children and you scarred losers like me for life. So stop trying to live your dreams through your children and let's let them do the projects. Can we do that and even out the playing field? Because I've been scarred. How did that happen? Or you go for the sports tryouts. And you think you're in and no, the coach didn't like you for some reason. Or you go for the school play. Remember the tryout to get that main part and they never called you back and you're still waiting and hoping. And you just, what about an interview? You know, you go for a job. It's just heartbreaking. You think you did all right. How'd you go? I don't know. I think I did good. Or you do tests and you think you did okay on the tests. And it's just very confronting going through any form of judgment. None of us want to face judgment. None of us look forward to judgment. But the truth is, the Bible teaches we all face judgment. So it's better we discuss it now than we ignorantly walk into it not knowing. And so I want to teach from God's word, what are these judgments? Well, the Bible teaches there's two judgments. Now, most conservative biblical scholars agree there are two main judgments, two judgments in Scripture. One is for the non-believer and one is for the believer. So we're going to talk about both of those judgments today. The first one is called the Great White Throne, Revelation 20, verse 11. Then I saw the great white throne and him who was seated upon it. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. The books were opened, another book was opened, which was the book of life. Remember that word, the book of life. It's important, that book. The dead were judged according to what they had done and recorded in the books. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. So when you are saved, when you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, your name is written in what we call the book of life. It's also referred in Scripture as the Lamb's Book of Life. It's written in there. You are saved. It's recorded. It's in this book. If your name is not written in the book of life, you are then judged on your works. Now, here's the problem. We're all born with this sin nature. The Bible says we've all fallen short of God's glory. Therefore, it's impossible to pass this judgment based on our works. And so the sobering fact is this: if your name is not written in the book of life, you will go to the great white throne. Now, if you only remember one thing, remember this great white throne. If you die and suddenly you wake up, you're in heaven. If you see the words great white throne, don't go there. Just run. Run the other way. Run, forest, run. If there's a sign that says great white, it's not a good thing. Okay, this is where people go to be cast into the lake of fire. What's the lake of fire? This refers to hell. I know we don't talk about this, and I don't want to be this fire and brimstone, but it is the truth of God's word. It's actually reality that we're all going to face. So with all the great love and compassion, I want to share on this today. The lake of fire refers to hell. Its Greek terminology is everlasting destruction, eternal damnation, separation from God. There is no hope. No second chance, no way out. It is a real place, this thing called hell. Now, in Matthew, Jesus mentions 6 times, in this place there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth, signifying the unrighteous shall weep and gnash their teeth in reaction to the pain and suffering inflicted by the fire of hell for all eternity. This has got to be the most important message that we can share as part of the gospel. We don't want anyone to go there. God doesn't want anyone to go to hell. That's why he sent Jesus to save and rescue. So for those whose names are not in the book of life, and I'm talking to you if you're not sure if your name's in the book of life, we'll talk about this in a moment so you can get it written in there today, actually, through God's love, through Jesus Christ, through the gospel. If your name is not written in the book of life, you will go to this great white throne and you will end up in this eternal lake of fire called hell. If your name is in the book of life, then you go not to hell, but what we call heaven in Scripture. What's heaven like? Well, 1 Corinthians 2:9 tells us that no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God is preparing for those who love him. In other words, heaven, I can't explain it. I'm sorry. People throughout history have tried books and people have gone to heaven and movies. It's impossible to actually describe how great it is. When we talk about the eye hasn't seen, the ear has heard, the mind has gone, we're talking about whole new colors. We're talking about a whole new geography and a whole there's not even the words of the greatness, the majesty, of the sheer pleasure, our vocabulary, our experience. We can't even compare how great it is. So as bad as hell is, the same extreme heaven is good. And it's for every believer. Isaiah 65:17 says, "Behold, I will create a new heaven and a new earth." God took 7 days to create this world. It's not bad. I'm telling you, I love the beaches are beautiful, the mountains, the sunrises. You can't stand in awe of the Creator when you see this world. It's 7 days. Yet God has been preparing a place for us for thousands of years. That's how great this place, heaven, will be. Revelations 21, he'll wipe away every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death. No mourning, no crying, no pain. For the old order of things has passed away. He who is seated on the throne, I am making everything new. No suffering, No mosquitoes, praise the Lord. No loneliness, no fear, no anxiety, no worry, no rejection, no depression, no back pain, no migraines. It's all brand new. It's beautiful. We can't even think about it. It's perfect in every ways. And here's the greatest thing, we get to be with our God. Revelations 21, now the dwelling of God is with men. We walk, we live with God, and he will live with them, and they'll be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. Yeah, so it's just fascinating. You know, I'm talking to you, it's hard for me to comprehend how bad hell is. It's horrible, horrible. How great heaven. The difference between them is so great. I think it's so important we teach on this so that we can be aware where there is just the greatness of heaven. But before you go to heaven, believers in the room, there is a judgment that you will face. Now, this is the second judgment that I want to talk about today, and this is the judgment for the believer. This is called the judgment seat of Christ, and you don't get a free pass from this. You can't get a doctor's certificate and call in sick. You can't miss the exam. You can't bypass it, you know, and find another way into uni. No one gets past this seat of Christ. Romans 14:10, for we all stand, we all, that's everyone, before God's judgment seat. Why? Well, hang on a minute. Why is there judgment for the believer? For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what? What is due to him. Ah. For the things done on this earth while in this body, whether good or bad, we will be judged based on the things we do on this earth. Now, let me be really clear. We are not saved by our works. We're saved by grace through faith, right? Through Christ. However, we do receive rewards based on our works. You might not have heard that teaching before. It's very crystal clear in Scripture. So the Greek word used here for judgment is bema. Not talking about your car that's driving down the BMW. It's called bema. It's actually a very rich word with a lot of historical meaning. So the bema means step up. So judicially speaking, if a person would step up to the bema seat, it's where the judge would announce guilty or not guilty. It was also commonly used in the Greek Olympics, where if you won a race, you would step up to the bema and you would receive your crown or your prize. And in Scripture, it's very clear there are crowns that believers will receive. Here's just a couple of them. There's the incorruptible crown in 1 Corinthians 9. It's given to those who demonstrate self-denial and perseverance, seeking maturity. These are people that really pursue the things of God and maturity, not church, but the sanctification, the being, the learning. They're kind of more the scholar type. So they really want to understand and unpack God's revelation, and they're very passionate about the word and fasting and praying. It's called the incorruptible crown. Then there's another crown called the crown of righteousness. And this is in 2 Timothy 4:8. This is those who love and appreciate the second coming. So they don't live for this world. They're kind of out there. They're living for the next world to come. They're sort of living in this mindset of this supernatural world. And it's the crown of righteousness. They're not pursuing the things of this world, but they're pursuing the things of God. The next one is the crown of rejoicing. Now, this is also known as the soul winner's crown. And this is for those who share their faith, who witness, who bring people to church, who go outside the church bubble and try to reach people for Christ. Then we have the crown of glory. Now, the crown of glory is for those who care. They have empathy. They serve. They love. I ain't getting that crown. But Darla is. So I'm going to hang out with Darla and we can share that crown a little bit, Darla. This is for those who just hands and feet of Jesus. They're, you know, in the hurt and the pain and the suffering. And then there's the crown of life. This is for those who endure trials. Did you know that? There is a crown, because some people go through more than others, right? Some people just have these, why? Well, there's a crown of life for endure trials and hardships, yet still hang on to Christ. There is a reward for our time on earth. This life matters. What we do matters. Now, I want to confession time with all of you and be really honest today as I put this message together. This is a hard one for me because the older I get, I find it harder to live for eternity. Let me try to unpack that. As I grow older, my family gets bigger. I got five kids and they're starting to get married and more people. And I just love my family. My family comes first before the church. It's everything to me. Bonnie and I, we are family people. Probably boring for some, but that's who we are. And we love our family. And I feel I'm getting more and more attached because the family grows. And I feel even more responsibility as they're adulting to pour into their lives. So there's that attachment. Then there's this thing called the church, where I'm giving my best. I believe in the local church. I believe in the Bride of Christ. I believe it's God's way of ministering the gospel and seeing people saved and giving Him glory. I love the church. I love my job. I'm so honored. And thank you for allowing me to serve you as your pastor. I just consider it the greatest honor. But it can get me to be very focused on church world. And then there's this thing called stuff. Now, I don't know why I just accumulate it. You know, you just get stuff, right? I've got an attic and it's full. I never use any of it, but it's full. And I just built a granny flat. And I got my jet ski. You know, it's 2009 Honda, but I got my jet. You got stuff, right? And so what I find challenging, there's all this great thing. These are great things. These are great things. Family and church and enjoying. This is beautiful. But if I'm not careful, my heart can get captured by this world. And I can lose my focus on eternity. And I can run around like a chicken with my head cut off, you know, doing the things of this earth. And I stop to realize, oh my gosh, God, I'm going to face a judgment here. And I better be aware of that. And decisions I make will impact that. And I never want to get to heaven. I never want to get to heaven and regret my time on earth. Because eternity is a long time to regret. Forget your church hurts. Forget all the stuff that's gone on. At the end of the day, we're going to face Christ. And we're going to live a life in obedience to Him for His glory and for His honor, because our life in heaven will be affected by that. Now, we're going to heaven. If you're saved, you're going to heaven. It's all good. Your name is in the book of life. But boy, imagine with me for a moment that you face Christ and He says, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And He says, "Well, I love you. You've been faithful." And He says these words, "What you did to the least of these, you did for me." And when you cared for that aging friend and no one else would, I saw that. And when you caught on that single mom and you visited them and you helped them out, I saw that. And when you took time in the office to care for that worker who was struggling and suffering and you had that sort of intuition, that discernment to pray for them, they opened up and they cried and you sat with them. And when you prayed for years for those who were lost and you invited them to church and they kept saying no, but you didn't quit. And when you did the right thing at work when everyone else didn't. When you stood up for me in front of your friends when you could have just gone the way of the world. When you did your best to get to church every week and pour into the bride and serve faithfully. When you gave financially to that family that was hurting, I saw that. When you tithed. And it was hard, and you lost your job, and you were struggling, you put me first. And when you stood up for me in uni and in the sports field, and when you taught children in kids' church, there's got to be a crown in heaven for that. And when you gave glory to me when things went well and you honored Him, you didn't get prideful and take it for yourself, but you said, "To you be the glory and the honor." When you showed the fruits of the Spirit and when you lived for me and when you gave me worship and praise, I saw that. Our eternity will be affected by how we live on this earth. Man, this life is so short. So short. You just blink. It's like the mist in the morning, bam, it's gone. The dew on the grass, gone. How short is this life, yet how long is eternity? God challenge us to live for eternity. Understanding death helps us know how to live. And how should we live? For eternity. Maybe today you're not sure whether your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Here's what I love about the Gospel and the Resurrection Sunday. It's because of Jesus that our name can be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's there forever. It doesn't get blotted out or whited out. No one can rip that page. It's there. If you don't know if your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life today, it can be. It can be written in there for eternity. Can you feel the magnitude of that? Can you feel the joy of that? With eyes closed and heads bowed, this is your moment to be sure that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that you've been forgiven, that you'll go for heaven for eternity. With eyes closed and heads bowed, you want Jesus to be your Lord and your Savior? So your name can be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that's for you today. And that's why you're here. That's why Jesus died. That's why he rose from the dead. Would you raise your hand and say, yeah, I want to be saved. I want my name to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank you for your hand up the back there. Thank you for your hands. 1, 2, 3, 4 over there. Others, just raise your hand. You want to know? Put it up. We'll settle it right now through the power of Jesus Christ. Raise your hand. You want to know that your name is written in that Lamb's Book. Just put your hand up and then you can put it down. By the way, it's not raising your hand. It's a commitment to Christ. The Bible says when you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you'll be saved. It's not an elevation thing. This is a gospel thing. Anybody else, raise your hand. Look, I believe there's more here. That's why you're here. That's why you're here. Just raise your hand. Say, yeah, I want to know for sure that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that I'm secured for my eternity. Thank you. I see your hand. Others, just raise your hand. Put it up. Come on. Thank you. I see your hand. Well done, sir. Man, amazing. Courage. Takes courage. It's all you have to do. It's not being something to someone. It's not performing. It's not by works. It's you making that decision between you and God, anyone else. I just have this stirring that we're in a day we're going to see people come to Christ, where God's going to move, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, people are going to be drawn. And I just believe our church is going to be on the forefront of seeing people saved. And you can bring your unsaved friends and family members. You get them in here in the presence of God, and God moves. And every week we give an opportunity for people to be saved, their name to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Anyone else, raise your hand. Thank you. Well done, sir. Well done. Thank you. Anyone else? Amazing. God, move. Have your way. Anyone else? Anyone else? Come on. Anyone else? Anyone else? I don't want to, I feel like an auctioneer up here, but it's important. This matters. Eternity. We're just talking about how bad hell is and how good heaven is. Let's make that decision. Once it's written, it can't be blotted out. Remember liquid paper? Remember that in the 80s? Remember the thinner? We used to smell it. He used to smell it. Pitwater High, man, I was a sniffer. And it doesn't get whited out. It's in forever. It's there. We're saved. Thank you. I see your hand. Amazing. 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 One more time as I look across. Don't miss this moment. I know we joke and I'm trying to keep it light, not to feel the condemnation or the heaviness, but this is serious. This is people's eternity. There's nothing more important than salvation. Your name being written in that book that no one can take it away. Not your past, not your future, no one else. It's written. It's secured. Your name is there for eternity. Let's all pray this prayer. Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Save me. I want my name written in the Book of Life. I want my eternity secured in heaven. I surrender my life. Forgive me, save me. Write it in there. For those who raise their hand, I want you to see a book. I want you to see the images of your name. Whatever it is, Dave, Liz, Susan, whatever. Just see your name written in that book. Your faith is secured. You are changed. You are born again. In Jesus' name, everyone said, come on, let's celebrate. How good.